All right, let's start with chapter 28, First Chronicles. I skipped 26, 27 because, well, actually I skipped many chapters because there's just names of the people. We're going to finish these two chapters of this book, and this is our 55th book of the Bible that we finished. All right. As I mentioned in the last teaching, First Chronicle, there are two major sins of David that we remember. First one is the adultery with Bathsheba. Second one was what? Unauthorized census of Israel. Though his life was deeply etched by these undeniable sins, but you have to give it to him that King David was a godly man. He was exceptionally close to the Lord, and he knew how to describe his heart, his love for God. At the twilight of his life, David had one goal and one goal only. That was building a house of God for the glory of God. And it was not about the leaving fancy legacy for his descendants to say, ooh and ah, or it was not for his own glory. It's all about Jesus Christ. He did not spare any wealth. He did not spare any effort when it comes to the building a temple of God. But he knew that he could not build a temple of God, so he prepared everything, every little detail. He could have easily said, if I cannot build a temple for God, I will have nothing to do with it. He could show off his attitude. He did everything. And David didn't spare, as I said, anything, and he gathered all the material constructions, and for the Solomon could build the glorious temple for God. He had God in the center of his mind. This is something we should learn from David. If we cannot have what we hope for, let's not sit down and be in despair and allow the energies of our lives to run to waste or sift through from our lives. But let's arise and gird ourselves to help others to achieve that. Good example is Hudson Taylor. I'm going to quote what he said. He could not do what he wanted. He put all the work for the Inland China Mission. He made it into the fertile ground, and the missionary after him came and did a tremendous work because of Hudson Taylor. Do you know what he did? He prayed. This guy prayed like nobody else. After all, the goal of our Christian life, it should be about the glory of God, not ours. You agree? But one of his sons, Adonijah, was the complete opposite of David. It was all about him. Even though he knew that God was not with him, he didn't care. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. Starting at the verse 2 of chapter 28, please, and we will stop and pray. Father, as the psalmist said, it's better to be one short time with you than living in the fancy palace with everything that we can have at our fingertips. Father, what good is it for a man to have all the treasure in the world and lose a soul, as we know in the book of Matthew. Father, let us have you in our heart and everything for your glory, like King David did at the end of his life. And let us not be like Adonijah, who was selfish, ungodly, not for a moment. Let our heart be keen to you, the Holy Spirit of God, of our living God, and follow him every way, and that we may honor your holy name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 2 of chapter 28. Then the king David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build, note the four words, a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. and the footstool of our God, and had made a preparation to build it. But God said to me, You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me the king over all Israel, and of all my sons. For the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, If it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my court, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If it is he is steadfast to observe my commandment and my judgment, as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as inheritance for your children after you forever. David called the temple as the house of the rest, and God's rest represents the completion of his work. The idea of the rest was so significant for the temple that even though David's role as a man of war was a vital part of temple preparation, in creating the necessary condition for the work, it disqualified him from the building of the temple himself. Only Solomon, the man of rest, was sufficient fitted for this task. We're going to talk about this man of rest and why Solomon was chosen, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. His exhortation to Solomon that began with the most important aspect, emphasizing steadfast commitment to the real fellowship with the living God. What good is it for us to build him to build a temple when he does not have a right fellowship with God? Of course, Solomon, as we all know, he studied well, but he finished lousy. If there is anyone who could ride the spiritual ride on the spiritual coattail of one's father, that would be Solomon. Because you would not find many godly father as the King David, even though he made a couple of boo-boos. Go down to the verse 13, please. I'm sorry, the second, first King, keep your finger there, go to first King, chapter 2, verse 13. 1 King chapter 2 verse 13. Now Adonijah, son of Haggith, that's one of the King David's wife, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, Do you come peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, Say it. Then he said, You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectation on me, that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Did you know that? Get this. Here is the one stark contrast between Adonijah and his godly father, King David. In chapter 1, 1 Kings, see, Adonijah decided he's going to be king. He proclaimed himself as a king while his father was still alive. And it was done that King David promised that Solomon would be king next in line. The reason why Adonijah was thinking that he should be king is because Amnon was the oldest. Remember him, the guy who raped his own sister? Followed by Absalom was the second in line, but both of them got killed one way or another. So apparently he was the heir in line. So he thought he should be the one over Solomon, who was younger than him. So he proclaimed himself as the king. When Prophet Nathan and Bathsheba found out, they, right on time, they informed King David. So hurriedly, the King David summoned Solomon, and he put him in the throne and proclaimed it. When Adonijah realized that his effort to be a king didn't work, as he ran to the altar of the tabernacle, he held on to the horn of the altar and he said, "You gotta forgive me." Because he's inside of the tabernacle, King Solomon said, "If you keep yourself a worthy man, I will keep you alive." Now, with that, however, Adonijah did not get rid of his thought being a king. He's a second attempt. So we find him coming to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and asking her, "Talk to your son that I should get the Abishag." Abishag is did I pronounce his name correctly? Yeah, Abishag, the Shuman. And he won her. Who is Abishag? She was the last woman of King David. They were not intimately known each other, but she was more like a nurse. In other words, this guy is telling, but in other people's eyes, it was a king's wife or king's concubine. He wanted to marry his father's concubine. This is how sickle he is. Why he said that? Because he's trying to claim his father's throne. Whether it's right or no. Whether it's right or not right. You may wonder why Adonijah came to Bathsheba. I find the two reasons. Number one, Adonijah understood a little bit of the psychology of women. Even though they lived in the family system of the multiple wives and concubines, woman's jealousy still existed. Abishag was, as I said, she was nothing more than a nurse, but Bathsheba was put in the background. So this is the time for Bathsheba to get rid of Abishag from her sight. Number two, Adonijah knew that Solomon would listen to his mother's request much more than Adonijah's. Interestingly, that the name Adonijah is a combination of a couple of Hebrew terms. First one, Adoni, is coming from the Adonai. You guys heard that word. Adonai means my master. And Jah or Yah is a abbreviation of Yahweh, which means my God. So the name renders in my master is Yahweh, or Yahweh is my master. Great name. All the Hebrew's name always describes the child's character, or is more like a prophetic name, description of what the child's going to be. Adonijah's name certainly did not show this con artist mentality. Please note what he said in verse 15. Go back to verse 15. "You know the kingdom was mine, and all Israel set their expectation on me. I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over, has become my brother's, for it was my brother's from the Lord." In other words, he really did not care whether it was God's will for him to be a king or not. He wanted to be a king, and so bad that he didn't care whether God is in his life or not. If we do the will of God, we will invest the rest of our time in that which is lasting and satisfying. But if we give in to the world around us, we will waste the rest of our time and regret it when we stand before Jesus. Make sense? Then the will of God comes from the heart of God, and it is an expression of the love of God. We may not always understand what is doing, what he is doing, but we know that he is doing what is best for us. And we do not live in explanation, rather we live on his promises. Again, I'm bringing the Hudson Taylor into the picture. Hudson Taylor, what he said is, God reserves his best to those who leave the choices to him. In other words, leave the blank paper in the presence of God. Let him fill it out. Don't give him multiple choice. Either choose one or choose one. Verse 9 of chapter 28. All for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thought. What is the verse that reminds you for what we just read from the New Testament? Let me read that portion again. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thought. Go to the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, please. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and joining the marrow. Here is the discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Back to 1 Chronicles. And verse 9, the second portion of verse 9. He will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the house of the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then the Lord, David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule and its house and its treasury, its upper chamber and its upper inner chamber, and the place of mercy seat. Then the plans for all he had by the Spirit, get that guys, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers all around, and of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasures for the dedicated things. During my junior high school years, I learned how to use the architectural symbols, like the doors and the windows, and how to use that thing, and learn to design the floor plan. I really enjoyed doing that time, and you know, when we were planning for the building, that building someday, if the Lord tarries, I really enjoyed designing the floor plan. This is the house of God. Do you think God was enjoyed telling David how it should be built? Yes, he did. From the dimension of the temple to the last detail of the temple furnishing, everything was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is why the David reminded Solomon that this plan was not the suggestion from the Lord, but rather divine commission. Moses had to make everything according to the pattern God gave him on from the Mount Sinai. And he was told how to build it exactly. So did Solomon from David. The plan for the temple even spelled out how much material to be used for the each furnishing. It cannot be altered. Even, good example is the one of the censer. God told them how to make the ingredient, and it was given to them. But it was not, and it was told, they were told not to use for any other occasion. If they use their censers any other way, they will be killed. In describing David's plan for the building, the temple, the Chronicle has a special attention, paid a special attention to portray David as the second Moses and Solomon as the second Joshua. Why do I say that? Let me explain to you. In spite of the many achievements by both Moses and David, neither one finished the task. Moses could not lead the people into the promised land, and David could not build the temple. Furthermore, in both cases, it was God who prohibited them from completing their task. Since the task fell under their successor, the Chronicles depict Solomon as the second Joshua by noting the several resemblances between the two. I find the five resemblances. First one is both were chosen privately and declared as the support of all the people. Second one is both received the support of people without resistance or opposition. Remember how Moses was rejected by his own people at the beginning? And how many, for 40 years, how many times they tried to kill him, stone him? But there was not a once revolt against the Joshua. Same thing with David. How many times they tried to kill him? How many times they rejected him? But not with Solomon. Thirdly, both were magnified by God. Fourthly, both led God's people into the rest. When Joshua took the people to the promised land, there was a rest. Once Solomon took over the kingdom, there's not one battle. King David took care of everything. In other words, he took care of all the security. The last one, both were told, be strong and courageous. The Lord your God goes with you. And the last one is, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Where do you find these verses? This particular verse, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Where do you find that? Huh? Joshua and? First one is from the Deuteronomy. You find in Deuteronomy, you find in the book of Joshua, also you find in the Hebrews 3:5 or 5:3. He will never leave you nor forsake you. 13:5. So, okay, I missed the one, number one. The similarity shows of Joshua and Solomon as the one chosen by God to finish their great work their predecessor left. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Hebrews 13:5. Yes, you're right. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, and yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as a head over all. Both riches and honor comes from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is the power and might. In your hand it is to make the great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But you, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And for we are alien and pilgrims before you, and as were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow without a hope. You know, this magnificent prayer starts with a praise and adoration from God, just like as all the prayers should be. And God blessed David richly, so give him thankfully. Bless God thankfully. In my opinion, this is a short version of theology. And it shows about the power and might of God, and it shows about his presence over all the earth. David blessed the God of Israel and acknowledged his great power and majesty and dominion. In contrast to the eternal God, David declared himself as nothing but a shadow, just like anybody else, alien or the stranger on the earth, even though he's a king himself. Folks, God is eternal, but human life is brief, and nobody can prevent the inevitable hour of death. We're going to pray for J.D. Sealy. You know J.D. Sealy? How many of you guys know J.D.? Yeah, Colette Sealy's husband. We went to see him at the hospital. He showed me the picture of a jar. The fluid came out from his lung. Two big jars. Brown stuff. And he told me that doctors think that it's a 95% cancerous. When I saw Colette on the morning, I asked, how's JD doing? She said, he has a lung cancer. And doctor gave him 6 months or 2 years. He was fine a couple months ago. Now all of a sudden he has 6 months to live. We don't know when the inevitable hour of death. Since all things come from God and life is brief, and the wise thing for we can do is give back to God and what He gives to us and make an investment in the eternal. You know, if you struggle in praising God because you don't know how to describe your heart, you don't know how to give thanks to God in word well like I don't, may I suggest that you just read this portion back to God every day, put it in your heart, and you might start to pick some of the word from this very verse. That's what I'm going to do. There's a time that I cannot describe how wonderful God is, and here's the great way of describing our God.
Just a simple thank you.
Yes, simple thank you will do a wonderful thing too. And it's not the words that we say, the heart behind that words. That is the most important thing. Application number one. The will of God comes from the heart of God, and it is an expression of the love of God. Amen? Number two, since all things come from God and life is brief, the wisest thing that we can do is give back to God what He gives to us and make an investment in the eternal.